Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month. This monthly CB web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Have you ever thought about your employees' attitude when it comes to who they believe they're working for? Put it a different way. Does the employee believe they're working for you personally or the company? Believe it or not, the answer to that question makes a big difference. If they believe they're working for you, then they also believe that their efforts can make you rich. If they see themselves as working for a company, they will feel like they're part of the team. If an employee believes they're working for you, well, guess what? They'll not stay around very long. This month, Bob Daniels, president of Copperfield Chimney Supply, is going to provide 15 very practical ideas on how to create a company environment that will significantly lower employee turnover. As always, Bob's suggestions are not theory. They are basic, tried and true suggestions that really work. As a bonus, Bob has also provided an additional short section at the end of this presentation that's entitled, Make That Million Dollar Visit. There's lots of really great practical information in this month's presentation. So get your pad and pencil ready, and here we go.
Hi, this is Bob Daniels. Thanks a million for tuning in to me here today. Hey, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with small businesses in the service and retail sectors for 30 years now, and one of the topics that always comes up is employee retention. And, you know, it's on everybody's mind, and you can read books about it and go to seminars about it, but I've found one important item that's almost always overlooked, and I'm going to present that here for you today in two parts. When I'm done with that, I'm going to come back with another cool section titled The Visit That Can Make You $1 Million. And you're really going to love that. It's one of my favorites. But here we go, a two-part section on employee retention. Employees want a company, part one. We all know the importance of hiring and keeping good employees. I mean, shucks, books have been written on those subjects. But still, we always hear business owners or managers moaning things like, it's impossible to get and keep good help. Hey, come on, it's not impossible. Because if it was impossible, companies would not even exist. Everyone would either be unemployed or work for themselves. Ever thought of it that way? So it's clear that it's possible to hire and keep good employees. You've just got to know how. So if you've had trouble keeping good help in the past, or you're about to hire your first employee. Here, let me give you what I think is the number one tip in this and the next lesson. Mind you, this is not the only important step in employee management and retention, but it is a key one and one that for some reason you never hear the experts talk about. Be a company first, then be a boss. Before you hire your first employee, be sure you are a company. In other words, be sure you have what I call company consciousness. No, I'm not talking about your legal structure, whether you're a corporation or partnership or any of that jazz. I'm talking about you. Yeah, you, and specifically your attitude towards the business you created. Be sure that in your own mind, you view this business as a company, separate and different from yourself. Because this is what employees want. They want to work for a company. They don't mind if it's a small company, but they want it to be, I keep repeating myself here, they want it to be a company. They don't want to be someone's helper. They want more than to just work for you personally. This is a narrow but important distinction. So pay close attention here. And as I said, it all begins with you. With our very first employee, we often make what later expands into a huge mistake. We have usually started our business as a one-person show or a husband and wife team, worked hard, we've enjoyed some success, and now we need a helper to share the load. but we still identify this business and ourselves as one and the same. And that's normal enough because, heavens, you are the business when it is small and just starting out. But before you hire your first employee, you must take this attitude and throw it off the end of a long pier and realize the deeper truth, which is as follows. You already are a company, even though for now it's just you. You too work for your company. So why not start presenting yourself as a real company with your very first employee? Failure to do this results in your new employee simply feeling like he's your assistant. And this is a nice way of saying he feels like your flunky. And as this new employee's presence leads to greater success and profit, the employee has no alternative but to feel that he's simply done a darn good job of helping to make you rich. With time, this can lead to resentment. It can certainly lead to your employee forming a desire to start his own business or even pulling up stakes and quitting in the middle of your busiest time of year. So instead, make sure that before you even hire your first employee, you've established the trappings and attitude of a company. A company is a separate thing. It's not you. It's what your employee works for. And guess what? You work for it too. Understand now, it's never too late to fix this error. Heck, most of you listening to this have already been in business for quite a while. If you can recognize having made the very mistake I just described, never fear. It can always be corrected by taking the steps I'll begin to outline here shortly and in our next lesson. In summary then, the thing no one ever tells you when it comes to employees is that they want to work for a company, not a person. So, beginning with our first employee, we often waltz ahead thinking that hiring a helper is the correct first step. And as far as working to look and act like a real company, well, we figure that's something we can get to later. But here's the trouble with that. You get busy. So the second employee is also hired as a helper. Then the third is also hired as a helper. And soon you have just a bunch of people running around working for you instead of a company. And sooner or later, they leave you. Because consciously or unconsciously, everyone wants to work for a company, and no one wants to work for another person. Now you know the theory. Okay, here are five concrete steps to create company consciousness, and in our next lesson, I'll give you 10 more. Number one, have company rules. What do you mean, Daniels? The company rules are whatever I darn well say. See what I mean? If you're not careful, you can and will look to your employees like you are making up company rules as you go along. Good companies don't do that. One-man operations with a few flunkies do that, and that is not how you want to look. So don't put off creating company rules till later. Do it before you hire your first employee. And if you've had employees for years and still have not written down your rules, it's never too late. Do it next week. Your staff will love it. Number two, follow the rules yourself. Oops, that means you. Nothing makes an employee feel more devalued than to see the owner flaunting his own set of work rules while the employee is held to a different standard. You want a good company with happy employees? Follow your own rules. For example, if you have a company rule against personal phone calls, then don't make personal phone calls on the job. If your company rule calls for 40-minute lunch hours, don't take 60 minutes. And all along, you thought maybe your employees hadn't noticed you had two sets of rules? The joke was on you. Get with the program and watch morale change. Number three, have company uniforms. Companies that meet the public have uniforms, not dress codes, uniforms. Maybe not a whole set of shirts and pants, but at least the shirts. When an employee comes to work, he gets these shirts, plain and simple, day one, not after some probationary period. day one, because you want that employee to feel on board from day one. 4, business cards to new employees in week one. Companies have business cards. Small quantities of business cards are very inexpensive. Again, don't wait for the employee to pass some probationary period. Do you think IBM does that? Heck no. Print the cards and give them to your new employee in week one. He'll know he works for a company, not some guy. And that's what you want. Point 5, don't ever mope when business is slow. A good company has resources to weather a storm. And even if you are small and your backup resource pool is small, for darn sure never complain about a business downturn to employees. Nothing will send them to the want ads quicker than you doing that. Okay, so there are your first 5 steps to take to develop company consciousness. You can bet you've probably thought about most or all of them. The key thing is to do them. And as I said before, there's a fine line between looking like a company and looking like a guy with a bunch of assistants. In the next lesson, which will come up here in just a second, obviously, we'll keep this list of things going with 10 more great things to give the appearance and security of making your outfit look like a company, not a one-man show or a husband and wife show. And these rules will work both for a new company to avoid problems and for an established one to repair retention problems along the way. Super. Back in just a second. Okay, this is Bob Daniels, and I'm back with part 2 of Employees Want a Company. In the first section, we learned the most overlooked mistake when it comes to hiring employees. In a nutshell, it's falling into the trap of hiring assistants instead of employees. And that comes from not viewing your company as a company, but instead viewing it as an extension of yourself personally. Things with new employees go fine for a while when you do that, but over time, it all falls apart. Why is that? It's because employees want to work for a company, not some guy, no matter how nice he or she is. Now, in the last lesson, I gave you 5 concrete steps to take to be a company. And in this lesson, I'll cover 10 more. Here we go. Company consciousness starts in your brain, so feed it the right set of thoughts. To be a company, you, as the founder and owner, need to have your head on straight. This means really understanding that the day you went into business, you actually created a new entity, your company. Yes, you own it, but you also work for it. You work for your company. Burn that into your brain. You work for your company. Its success is what will determine your business future. Its success, not your success. Every day you work to make your company more successful. Your success is the result of its success. Repeat these thoughts to yourself again and again. Pin a sign on your bathroom mirror, whatever it takes. I work for my company. That's what you need to drill into your brain. At all costs, eliminate the thinking that you personally are the business. Remember, employees want to work for a company, not a person. So get this mental exercise straight. It comes before all other employee success tactics. And if you don't have it straight, try as you may, you'll send your employees the wrong signals. The signals that someday ensures they will leave you high and dry. Number 2, have your company pay you a regular paycheck. As long as you just reach into your company bank account and willy-nilly draw out what you need to live, some months a little, some months a lot, it'll be impossible to create and keep company consciousness. But when you get a regular paycheck, now that feels like you work for a company. That's familiar. And that is the healthy way to view the relationship between yourself and the business you own. Also, When you hire your first employee, your subsequent employees, and he or she sees that you too get a paycheck on Friday, bingo, that employee knows he works for a company. Maybe a small company, but it's a company. He or she feels like he can relate to you. You have a bond, the paycheck, and you both know for the paycheck to grow, the company must grow. Now you're on the same page, and employees love that. Number three, don't ever put cash into your pocket from a job or a sale. Nothing sends the message to an employee that there is a double standard more than the boss pocketing the funds when the company gets paid in cash. Yet it happens all the time. A common refrain you hear from employees is, "Yeah, when we're paid in cash, it all goes right to the boss." Well, that's wrong. See, even if you're taking that cash straight to the bank, it looks like you're putting it in your pocket. Bad message. The employee figures, well, that's money I'll never have a shot at getting a share of. And you know what else that can lead to? At the very best, it leads to alienation. But at the very worst, it leads to the employees sooner or later putting cash payments into their own pockets. Have rules for how cash payments are handled. They should revolve around having one of those official-looking cash bags you get from the bank and a card inside where inflow and outflow are duly noted. Then be sure everyone knows the system and follows it. But most of all, make sure you follow it. Number four, never ask an employee to run a personal errand for you. If it's not in their job description, don't ask. Hey, think of how you would feel if an employee asked you to take his clothes to the cleaners and pick up a quart of milk. Well, that's how they feel when you ask them to do that, so don't do it. Do you think they do that at IBM? Well, that's how your business should be run, same way. Companies don't do that, and you are a company. Five, drop this phrase now and then. "Sure, I own the place, but I work here too." Find a way to drop this phrase every week or so. Coupling that with the whole list of things we're learning will only reinforce the message. And remember, the message is not just for the employees, it's for you too. Yes, you. It's easy to forget the whole world does not revolve around you and that the company is the key to your success. Dropping the above phrase to others to hear reminds you of this absolute truth. Six, have regular company meetings. Companies meet. They have meetings where all the employees attend. Company meetings give you a chance to cover both main points of sales and training and the millions of company details that come up. A guy with a bunch of assistants never has company meetings. He figures he covers all the important stuff in the course of the day. The trouble is, he doesn't really accomplish that, especially when the company starts to grow. And hey, don't think those 10-minute sessions at the beginning of the workday where you kind of gather everybody around are the meetings I'm talking about. Those are just normal daily work sessions. Company meetings occur weekly, biweekly, or monthly. Same time, same place. They're part of the job requirement everybody attends. They have an agenda. They include good news. They include some product training, some safety training, and whatever else there is to talk about. And oh yeah, the employees get paid for attending. Meetings have great impact, and they send the message that your outfit is a real company. Have company benefits. In this day and age, even the smallest company can organize some sort of benefit plan, like health insurance, life insurance, 401k, something. A lot of folks put this off, thinking that their business is too small, we can't afford it, whatever. But remember the goal here. You're a company. You want to reinforce that. Companies have benefits. If you don't have benefits now, when will you? See what I mean? You have to start now, even if the benefits are rather thin. Again, remember the goal, company consciousness. So even a weak benefit plan is better than no benefit plan. In fact, strengthening the benefits of your company can become one of the goals all employees are pulling for. Now, that means you're really getting somewhere. Number eight, have good truck and store signs. whether it be signs on your truck or signs on your store, have good ones. Have a company look that's consistent. Don't have one look on your truck, but a different sign on your building, a different one on your uniforms and your hats. Keep things consistent from your signs to your letterhead to your invoices to your uniforms. That's what good companies do. 9. Give your employees performance reviews. Make sure they are regular. Quarterly or semi-annually are both good. Be sure they include a list of where the employee is strong and where he or she needs to improve. List the specific improvements you expect by the end of the next review period. Next review period? Wow, see how this has the ring of a real company? Sure, reviews are always a little uncomfortable to perform, but with time, they become easy and even fun. Best of all, employees thrive on them. Now, don't think that a slap on the back and the phrase, "Great job, Joe," is a review. It's not. A review is formal. Now, make sure the review is written down. The employee gets a copy, and you do too. That way, you can look back right before the next review. Remember, there's going to be a next review, and get plugged into what you said last time, the expected goals, etc. Number 10, ask your employees to give you a review. I saved this one for last, because you'll be an all-time star in your employees' eyes if you ask them to sit in a group and come up with a review of you as a boss, what you do well and how you need to improve. If you do this, you will be exceeding the performance of even the best managers, and you can be sure your employees will want to stick around and watch you improve. And that's the goal and conclusion now, isn't it? Employee retention. Keeping good employees, that's the name of the game in any business, big or small. Nothing grows a business better than great employees. Nothing hurts one more than poor employees. There are many steps to being a good boss and keeping employees, but the first is to be sure you're really a company and not just a busy guy with a bunch of helpers. These two lessons have given you both the theory and 15 vital steps to both acquire company consciousness for yourself and to project it to your employees. Use them and watch your company prosper. Thanks for listening. This is Bob Daniels. It's been great being able to chat with you and share this particular bit of overlooked insight on employee retention. Hope you liked it. And now I'll be right back with my next business building lesson called A Visit Can Be Worth $1 Million. Be right back. A visit can be worth $1 Million. It's such a simple trick. It requires no study. It requires almost no preparation. It requires no real thought. All you have to do is reach for the phone, take a drive, and spend a day. What am I talking about? It's easy. Visiting another business like yours and spending a day just hanging out, maybe even helping a little. For such an easy and enjoyable experience, the results can be absolutely phenomenal. I know. I've seen and experienced it myself. Because, you know, all it takes is a tiny idea to enliven, refresh, invigorate, and drive the profitability of your business up, up, and up. I mean, you're already in business. You're already on top of your game. So in your position, even a tiny idea will have major positive impact. And by hanging around a business similar to yours for a day or even a few hours, you'll accomplish just that. All you have to do is tear yourself away from all the things that seem so important today and go make a visit. Remember, you're not visiting for a huge new idea, though that happens sometimes too. You're there to pick up any shred of a good idea or a change to an idea in any form. Oh, okay, so how do you do it? Well, just look online or in your Yellow Pages for a business like yours that's out of your competitive area, say 75 to 100 miles. Then compose yourself, think of what you want to say, and make the call. Hi, my name is Joe with Joe's Plumbing, or Joe's Appliances, or Joe's Chimney Sweep and Stove Shop, or Joe's Pet Grooming, whatever your business is. I'm over here in Thuleyville. Again, remember to call a business far enough away so that you don't compete. Then go on and say, hey, I'm on a campaign to improve my business, and I would love to spend a day with you. All you have to do is let me tag along and be your helper for a day. Who knows, maybe I'll even have an idea or two for you. Would that be okay? Yeah, now this is not the type of call you make every day, but once you do it, you'll get comfortable right away, and it'll just be natural. I know I've done this many times myself. And remember, it may take more than one call, but that's no problem. The surprising thing, though, is that the guy on the other end of the line, he never gets calls like this either. So after some stunned silence, the business owner on the other end is almost always going to say, well, sure, I guess so. Then you come right back and say, for instance, is next Wednesday morning okay? And when he says yes, say, what time do you start? I'll be there. Then when you show up, here's how you handle it. The key is to let your host simply be in a business as usual mode and then just hang out and watch. Hey, anytime you're getting together with someone you barely know, there's a period of initial awkwardness, but that goes away quickly when your host realizes he or she can just go about their daily job and you're going to stay in the background and maybe even help a little. Pretty soon, you'll find yourself talking, exchanging ideas, laughing, brainstorming. And the next thing you know, everyone has gained something. You gain something, your host has gained something. Everybody has won. It may have to do with selling on the job or in the store. It may have to do with employee management. It might have to do with installation or maintenance of products you sell. It might be as simple as learning an idea that'll save you 10 minutes a week, which, by the way, is about 10 hours a year. With a free-flowing visit, ideas can and will come from anywhere. Now, the results, they'll initially show up this way, kind of over the course of the day. You'll find yourself thinking, wow, I always wondered how that was done. Or, oh, wait, you do it that way? I always figured that would never work. Wow. Or, unbelievable, that never even occurred to me. Or here's my favorite. Wait, I tried that once and it didn't work for me. How do you do that? I must have missed something. And it's fun, believe me. Remember this secret. Someone you ask to visit will be honored to have you spend time with him or her. Trust me on that. As we all know, but we rarely admit, running a business is a lonely affair. Having someone to visit that also walks in your shoes has a high degree of attraction and fellowship just below the surface. All you have to do is tap it. Another cool side effect of a visit like this? You may even make a new friend. Again, the challenge is to just do it. Overcome the natural fear of calling a stranger out of the blue. Like Nike says, just do it. The two enemies to this idea, and they're easy to defeat, the fear of rejection when you call someone. Come on, you can get over that one. Number two, feeling like you're too busy. I'll do it later. I'll do it next month. I'll do it next year. I'll do it next week. Okay, you are too busy. You'll always be too busy. So just consider this a vacation day or a personal day. There's never a good time, so just make time. At first, this idea may seem best suited for service companies. That's because the venue of riding from job to job, doing some physical work together, checking on employees in the field, etc., lends itself to breaking down barriers. There's something about being on a roof or in a basement together that's very bonding. But it works equally well for retail storefront companies. That's because there are always errands to run, inventory to move around, shipments to unload, even customers to wait on where you can observe nearby. The technique can work for every single type of business. You just have to do it. Now, here are three important hints to make the experience work to the max. Number one, tag along. Let your host go about his day. Even if your host offers, hey, let's come in my office and sit around and chat, try and deflect that. Instead, say, hey, you know, that's okay, but if you've got stuff to do, let me just tag along. And what I found is that really melts the ice and gets the day off to a great start. And it especially puts your host at ease because he sees that he's now not going to really lose a day to having you around. Number two, remember, you are there to listen. But your immediate impulse, because you're a business owner, you're proud, your immediate impulse will be to start blurting out how you do things. Trust me, that'll be a big temptation, but it can kill the day. So have your guard up and avoid it. Your host didn't let you come to his place so he can learn from you. You called him, remember? So just be quiet and listen. Now, later in the day, after you guys start to become buddies, you have lunch or whatever, I can almost promise you that your host will begin to ask for your input. And then you can give it and search for the 1+1=3 experience among you. It happens. Just let it unfold naturally and resist the temptation to blurt out how you do things. Number three, this is another one to really have your guard up for. Keep in mind that over the course of your visit, you'll probably see an idea that your host employs that seems completely nuts. But again, shh, keep your opinion to yourself, because chances are, after a few more hours or even minutes of hanging with him, you'll see that the idea is in fact genius once you fully understand it. Again, this has happened to me many times. I see a guy doing something that appears nuts, only to learn that I'd never taken the idea far enough on my own, or I'd missed the essence of it. By being patient and quiet, I was able to capture an idea I should have figured out years ago. So be on the lookout for that too. So here's the conclusion and the action step. Go online, look in the Yellow Pages for surrounding counties and areas or states, and find some businesses like yours that are out of your competitive area. Then make the call, as I indicated. Call up, talk, speak spontaneously, invite yourself. And if it takes a few calls, don't be discouraged. The experience will be fun, rewarding, relaxing, and profitable. And you'll wonder why you haven't done this years ago. Remember, a day invested can make you $1 million over the course of the next 20 years. It's easy, so get out of your routine and go make a visit. Hey, this is Bob Daniels. The pleasure has been mine. Thanks so much for listening and staying with me. Boy, we covered a lot of cool information here today. We had a two-part session on employee retention, where we learned the secret little hideaway trick of making sure that, first of all, you yourself view your business as a company that you work for. Because only when you have company consciousness will you be able to have employees that themselves have confidence in what you're doing. And we learned 15 tips to employ to achieve that in your business. That's very cool. And of course, our last session here, wow, this is an easy session, a very basic, easy session with a lot of little tips I was able to pass on, which is basically, go visit a business that does the same thing you do. You are going to pick up information that will be like planting seeds in a fertile soil. Your business is the fertile soil. The other guy has the seeds. You mix them together, and you'll make a new $1 million. Hey, thanks a million. See you sometime down the line in the world of business building. Take care. Bye-bye.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. If you're interested in running a very profitable business, you might want to consider attending Grandy & Associates' 3-day basic business boot camp and or purchasing our industry-leading performance-based software program called ProfitMax. For more information on either, simply call Grandy & Associates at 1-800-432-7963, or check us out on the web. Again, the address is www.grandyassociates.com. A small investment in training can produce big profits. The Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.